This is Molly Hemingway, encouraging you to listen to my favorite podcast, Issues, Etc. Every day you get in-depth interviews with host Todd Wilkin asking expert guests substantive, thought-provoking questions on all of the important news and issues of our day. The expert guests are in culture, law, ethics, philosophy, theology, and apologetics. Expert guests, expansive topics, always extolling Christ. Issues, etc.
Today in America, there are women who have been turned away from emergency rooms while having miscarriages, losing wanted pregnancies, and told they need to wait until they are sicker before they get the care they need. And there are survivors of rape and incest who've been denied access to health services in their home states and been forced to travel to states that do provide that care. And there's so much confusion and uncertainty that doctors and nurses fear they could face criminal charges for just doing their job responsibly. Patients are being denied prescriptions that they've been taking for years for conditions like rheumatoid arthritis and osteoporosis, you know, because pharmacies are concerned that those drugs could also be used to terminate a pregnancy. So not giving them the prescriptions.
That's President Biden speaking Tuesday in Washington, D.C. He pledged in that speech, among other things, to codify Roe, but he said to do that, he needs to keep both the House and the Senate solidly in Democratic territory. So he's encouraging his base. I wonder if his base is in line with him on his position on abortion, which appears to be no limits whatsoever. He wants his base to elect Democrats, and so he can codify Roe. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about President Biden's latest comments about abortion, Carol Tobias. She's president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be with you.
When President Biden promises to codify Roe, what is he talking about?
He is actually talking about a bill in Congress, so-called, but it's the Women's Health Protection Act. That is a bill that would allow abortion for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason. It would wipe out any existing pro-life law that is currently on the books in the states, even those that were allowed by the courts under Roe v. Wade. There is a bill that has been introduced in Congress that would solely codify Roe v. Wade, but that's not getting any attention because Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi want to go further. So when Joe Biden says the first bill that he would present to Congress next January, when if Democrats are in control of the House and the Senate, he says it would codify Roe, it would go much, much further. It would wipe out anything the states have already done.
What were some of the falsehoods repeated recently by the president regarding the overturning of Roe?
Well, the ones that you played at the beginning of the segment here, he referred to women not being treated for ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages, or pharmacies not wanting to fill a prescription for a medication that's been prescribed because it may be for one purpose, but it can also be used for an abortion. And some people may be afraid they're going to be prosecuted for getting involved in an abortion. But doctors know the difference between an abortion and a miscarriage. They know how to treat women with problem pregnancies. Catholic hospitals and pro-life doctors have been doing that for 50 years while Roe was in effect. But that's why the doctors went to school, and that's what they learned in school, was how to tell the difference between what's happening. You know, they know the difference between an abortion and a miscarriage or an ectopic pregnancy. We've got some pharmacists that are concerned, you know, that if they fill a prescription and it ends up being used for an abortion, they're going to be held responsible. Well, the job of a pharmacist is to fulfill a prescription. If it was written for an illegal abortion, the prescriber is the one that's going to be responsible, not the pharmacist. I think many of these cases, quite frankly, are coming from pro-abortion advocates that just want to create confusion and angst among the people. It may take a little while to get some of these state laws sorted out as to what's allowed and what isn't, but there is no reason that a pregnant woman should have any problem getting medical care because of a state law on abortion.
So why haven't the Democrats codified Roe in the last 50 years when they had the political ability to do so?
Well, even if they had control or majorities in the House and the Senate, for many, many years, we had pro-life Democrats that would not have supported such an effort. Now it's pretty much solidly split pro-life Republicans and pro-abortion Democrats. We have one Democrat in the House and one Democrat in the Senate that will vote for pro-life measures. So the parties are very clearly divided on this issue. But the bottom line comes down to the U.S. Senate. You need 60 votes to prevent a filibuster, and the Democrats do not have the votes to get a bill passed over the objection of the pro-life Republicans that refuse to let it happen.
So that also explains why, even since the Democrats have controlled the House, Senate, and the White House for 19 months, they haven't codified Roe either.
Yes, yes. The House has passed several measures by majority that would have overturned Roe or increased tax funding of abortion, you know, wiping out some laws or putting forth more laws. But the Senate has always been the roadblock for them because Chuck Schumer cannot get enough votes to pass the pro-abortion measure that he wants in the Senate. And that's why it's so critical that the Democrats not get more votes, because if they can get rid of the filibuster, if they get 51 votes to do that, and then, or even 50, and then Kamala Harris breaks the tie, they will get rid of the filibuster, and we will start seeing these horrible pieces of legislation pass and being signed by the president.
So I'm curious, what is the president's position on abortion, as far as we can tell?
Well, President Biden, many years ago, said he was pro-life. He was a strong opponent of tax funding of abortion. He voted against adding rape and incest exceptions to the Hyde Amendment so that those funds could be used to pay for Medicaid abortions in those circumstances. He actually voted that health insurance plans paid for by the federal government for federal employees could not pay for abortion. He has completely flipped. He is now supporting abortion for any reason, for all 9 months of pregnancy, and he wants tax dollars to pay for it. He is just all in with Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. There is no abortion that he doesn't support. And I think we've got now a single-issue president and a single-issue Democratic Party, and that issue is killing unborn children.
So just to be clear, when the president says he wants to codify Roe, he's really talking about a several-step process, even if he has a slim majority in both legislatures. He's got to eliminate that filibuster, and likely he has to pack the court for his law to survive.
He would have to get rid of the filibuster, which means if they can, you know, right now they've got 48 votes in the Senate to get rid of the filibuster. If they get two more seats in this upcoming election and they get their 50, Vice President Harris will be there to break the tie, and they can get rid of the filibuster. They will then bring the Women's Health Protection Act to the floor for a vote, and it will likely pass with a majority vote, not the 60 needed to prevent the filibuster. But if that happens, the president will happily sign it. I don't know if it would go to the courts or not. Elected representatives have passed a national law. We could certainly challenge it before the court, but you're right, if they've got the votes to get rid of the filibuster, they have the votes to add more judges to the Supreme Court so that we could never change a national law that would be absolutely the most extreme radical law in the world.
Why do the president and his party believe that abortion without limits is a winning issue with voters?
I think they're misreading the polls. People may say that they're pro-choice or that they support Roe v. Wade, but that doesn't mean they support unlimited abortion throughout pregnancy. They support reasonable limits on the procedure. And I think the Democrats are also in an echo chamber. They're talking only to people who have the same position that they do, and they just think that represents the country, and that pro-life people are such a out-of-touch minority that they can just, you know, override whatever we want. And that's why they can't understand why they can't get their candidate selected.
What percentage of Americans support that position, abortion without any limits whatsoever?
Polls will vary, showing somewhere between 10 and 20% of the country supporting abortion without limits. The largest, I would say the plurality, the largest percentage of people in the country taking a position would say they support abortion, but they want limits, whether that is after the baby's heart is beating or in cases of rape and incest or if there is a medical emergency or after the baby can feel pain they want some limits. They don't agree with the position taken by the president and the Democratic Party that there should be no limits throughout pregnancy. Democratic candidates are saying that's between a woman and her doctor, and most people might say that sounds good, but when you ask them, they would say no to that kind of radical position.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. Learn more about National Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Carol, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll respond to your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. And on Friday, it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Rosebrough. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.